Welcome to the Order of Dark Arts podcast, where we discuss the history and philosophy of walking the Luciferian path to the daily practice of demonic magic. It is I, Dr. Pete, broadcasting from the city that puts the fun in funeral, along with our co-host, the brilliant author of the occult warfare book, and the professor of the Diabolico Advanced Hex and Spellcasting course, the one and only Professor Ashley Atori. How are you today, Ashley?
Hey, Pete. I'm so happy to be back here again today.
This is part two of the Wrath episode in the series we are doing on the seven deadly sins. Let's jump back in. Professor, have you seen where witches that do not release that wrath or anger, that it ends up harming them or affecting their practice in any way?
Now, I will answer this question, assuming that we are talking about proactive wrath, or wrath that is not maniacal or rooted in evil, but more so to either pay back or stop an injustice being done towards you or someone you love. So from this angle, there can be a negative effects from which is not releasing their wrath. Now, on the same idea, we have to remember that not all witches practice or believe the same things. We are on the left-hand path, which is very much pro-hex. But again, this is pro-hex in relation to defending yourself and stopping the true monsters in the world. The right-hand path is more about your meditations and controlling this wrath, and you said your meditations and calming and different techniques to somewhat bottle it up. Now, and I'm sure that can be debated, but at least from our point of view, that's what it is. Now, it may appear that witches are doing a good deed by holding back anger and emotions, but in reality, this can lead to building up of resentment and bitterness, which can eventually manifest itself as hostility and aggression. That when you bottle something up over time, that anger and wrath will come out somewhere later down the road, and it will usually come out onto people and situations that don't deserve it. And, these actions can lead to disruptions of relationships between individuals and within communities and groups. And in extreme cases, it can even lead to physical violence. But additionally, witches not releasing their wrath often means that they're unable to effectively deal with challenges or problems and may instead retreat into isolation or depression. And this can have a damaging effect on the mental health of the witch as well as those around them. And furthermore, when witches are deprived of outlets for their frustration, this can lead to feelings of powerlessness and a sense of helplessness. Therefore, it's important for witches to find a healthy way to express their anger or frustration in order to avoid these negative consequences. Now, this can mean a hex, or this can mean, stopping it yourself, through wrath. But you got to remember, wrath can also mean a conversation, a very stern conversation. And so people shouldn't avoid confrontation, even when the conversations are hard, because by avoiding it and bottling it up, you are going to cause detrimental effects to your mental and emotional health. Not everything can be meditated away. Sometimes you have to pull out all the stops to stop someone who is willing to be a monster. And finally, not releasing one's wrath can also have spiritual implications. Wrath or witchcraft is often rooted in this belief that energy must flow freely and smoothly for things to manifest and be successful. And when witches don't express their anger, this can definitely create a blockage in energy flow, which can prevent them from achieving their manifestations and desired outcomes. So as such, it's important to remember that that you need to find healthy ways of releasing wrath and in order to maintain a positive energy flow and to take control of your life. But overall, while it seems like maybe a witch would be doing quote-unquote the right thing by not releasing their wrath, the truth is that it can have serious and detrimental consequences, which definitely should be avoided at all costs. it's better to be considered hard to deal with or not to be considered non-agreeable or even not nice sometimes, as long as people know that they cannot cross your boundaries. That's the most important thing, is that people know that if they cross their boundaries, they're going to be in for hell of a time. If you can live that way, you might not be everyone's favorite. You might not be the sweetest in the room. You may not be the most agreeable, but you will be living authentically and be able to have a life that is on your terms, where you're not having to turn around and hex all the time, because people know just from the jump that they are going to be paid back for what they dole out to you.
Professor, is there a connection between wrath and evil?
So wrath is seen as synonymous with evil, but this isn't necessarily true. In some situations, wrath can be used as in a positive way to protect justice and prevent actual evil from spreading. For example, there's situations where an individual might become angry at injustice they see taking place around them or to them or to the people that they love, and which leads them to take action against it, whether this be hex or confrontation or what have you. This kind of wrath can be seen as a righteous anger or a proactive wrath, you know, one that helps prevent evil from occurring. And on the other hand, there's also situations where an individual's wrath can be misdirected or out of control, leading to further conflict and chaos. And in such cases, wrath can contribute to the spread of evil rather than preventing it. But ultimately, it's important to consider the context in which wrath is expressed and determine if it has the potential to lead to good or evil outcomes. And in this way, we can more accurately assess whether there is a connection between wrath and evil in any particular situation. It's also important to remember that anger can be an incredibly powerful emotion, and that one should definitely handle their anger with care. And in the right context, wrath can certainly be a helpful tool to help prevent evil from not only continuing, but flourishing. But like we've said before, that wrath must always be used responsibly. If you're going to be doing a hex, it should definitely be in self-defense, or it should definitely be a more of a proactive wrath to stop an evil from spreading. It shouldn't be used in any maniacal fashion. And even if you do, in demonic magic, especially the kind we teach, if somebody is mentally ill and trying to use this to cause widespread harm that is undue or harming an innocent, which we don't believe in, then those hexes do not get honored. They don't get fulfilled or manifested. But you know, in conclusion, back to the question, wrath and evil are not inherently connected. Rather, their connection depends on how they are used in a particular situation. And understanding this distinction is important in order to evaluate if anger and wrath can be used to prevent evil, or if it has a potential to lead to further problems. But with this knowledge in mind, we can definitely assess the connection between wrath and evil more accurately. And furthermore, we can work with Beelzebub to help us discern not only what kind of hex, but how far we're willing to go, what is necessary when it comes to a target, an enemy, and to prevent the spreading of actual evil. Now, in order to do this, if you want to work with Beelzebub for this, you will want to do either an evocation or an invocation. And you will then go to Beelzebub and let him know what the situation is. You might want to ask him to help you with divination over the situation, maybe sleep on it. Maybe ask him to have it come to you in your dreams, what you should do. But definitely go to him and talk to him about your situation first, and then proceed with a hex. And a demon will always do a hex in accordance to the level of damage and intent they had towards you, or whoever you're doing a hex on behalf of. You don't have to worry about situations where you just got mad and hex somebody who didn't deserve it, and then the next day you feel bad. They're not going to honor that anyway if it wasn't due, if it wasn't just. I got to remember that demons act on justice. And so hexing is a kind of a deep concept, and a lot of people are scared of it. But you got to remember that you're asking divine beings for help on this, and divine beings aren't going to run around hurting innocents, despite whatever social media or Christianity or even some right-handed path witches may have you believe.
This has been an amazing part two Wrath episode, and I wanted to thank you for the time that you've spent with us. Do you have any last thoughts, Professor?
We hope this podcast has definitely given you some insight into the complex topic of wrath and hexing. And as we've discussed, it's a practice that warrants caution as well as respect for oneself and others. Ultimately, it's up to every individual to decide how they want to approach such matters. And all we ask is that you take time to really think about it and to be considerate of its effects on yourself and those around you, whether you decide to hex or not. And as always, be sure to do your research before making a decision. Make sure that the person is deserving. Make sure that you know the intent of the person that harmed you. But as always, stay safe, and thank you for listening.
And I also want to close up by encouraging everyone to stay tapped in, tuned in, and turned on by their Luciferian practice. Hit that subscribe button, and you'll be notified when our next episode drops. Until then, don't allow fear to control your wrath. Be strong, strategic, and smart. Ask Lucifer for balance, and you'll always be centered and home. Shine on, everybody. Shine on.